Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, pursuing vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this fine day?
Doing good, Scott. Doing good. Ready to lay down some tracks.
Awesome. Well, we're going to be continuing our health education series, and I was thinking before we started talking that I was a little thirsty, so I went over and I got a glass of water, and I'm looking at this water, and I'm thinking of all the conversations we've had about the soil and how the food that we grow doesn't get quite the same number of nutrients normally as it used to get 50, 100 years ago, just because we haven't been putting them back. And I was thinking, I wonder what happens to the water as it goes through the pipes, certainly bottled water, as it gets pounded on the roads and in the trucks and everything else. And I thought it might be a good idea perhaps to just talk a little bit about water, because I know we're 80 to 90% water, and it's so important to our health.
Yes, you're right. We are mostly water-based creatures. Without water, I think if we lose 5% of our water volume, we die. It's that
Ouch.
That narrow a margin. Anyway, yeah, you're right. The water in nature is very different from the water that's coming through the man-made structures, the pipes. There's a lot that goes on inside of long, straight pipes that also turn at 90-degree angles. This is unnatural. That's not how things work in nature. In fact, there was a researcher. He died in the 1950s, Victor Schauberger, and he spent his lifetime in forests in Austria, observing water, studying water, working with it. And he discovered that water likes to spin in spirals. And it's an expanding spiral and then tightening spiral. And when it tightens, it flips orientation. So for a while, it's clockwise spinning. And then after the next turn, it becomes a counterclockwise spinning. And this vortexial action creates water structuring that you do not duplicate by running water through straight pipes. So I don't know. It's evident.
What happens to water when it goes through straight pipes? I mean, when you think of a river, or you think of a creek, or you think of a waterfall, or you think of the ocean or a lake, they're never straight lines, right? I mean, the water coming down,
right,
a waterfall bounces from rock to rock to rock, or a river winds its way through. I mean, there's no straight pipes going through. But I'm kind of curious as to what the difference, would it make much of a difference if it just went straight versus meandering the way it does in nature?
I think so. I mean, the researchers that are documenting this are showing that the straight pipes are creating this sort of laminar friction in water, where the inner part of the pipe is moving at a different speed than the outer part, the one that's catching onto the walls.
Right.
And it just creates some kind of an unnatural laminar back eddies that, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it. The only thing we have as visual evidence are these pictures taken by Dr. Emoto,
right,
where he shows that water from natural springs or from creeks that have not been polluted produce these beautiful harmonious crystals, whereas waters that come from just below some electric dams or turbines produce these very ugly-looking amorphous blobs.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I have certainly had the experience in nature. I wonder if you can relate to this, just interacting with water in a creek or in a lake as opposed to the water that's in your bathtub.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's a small river that runs by my place. And when it's very, very hot in the summertime, one of the things I love to do is put on a pair of trunks, head out to the river, and just sort of sit on one of the rocks and let the water just wash over. And I tell you that the feel of the water is, I don't know how really to describe it. It is so different than the feel of the water that comes out of the taps at home. It almost feels not living, but almost like a part of me. I don't know if I'm making any sense or not, but And this this comes right down from the, you know, the snow melting off the mountains.
Yes, I would say that's life force. Mm. You know, life force in evidence that we are supposed to drink that type of water or swim in that type of water, as opposed to these stagnant industrial product that comes out of our water pipes in the city.
Right. We're really talking about the difference between living water and dead water.
In many ways, yes. I mean, I cannot document it any other way other than pointing back at the pictures that Dr. Emoto took.
Right. Yeah, anybody that's
interested. And the feelings. How does it feel in the hand, right?
Right. And anyone that's interested in looking at those, we have a whole page of information on Dr. Emoto on the Life Enthusiast Co-op website at www.life-enthusiast.com. Just do a search for Emoto and you'll see. And I'll tell you, once you take a look at some of those ugly pictures of industrial water, you know, that would look perfectly fine in a glass, you really don't want to drink it.
Right. Well, it's safe, quote unquote, to drink. At least it doesn't have the ugly bacteria because they have been killed by chlorine.
Yeah.
But if you leave the chlorine in it and drink that, you'll end up killing the bacteria that are inside of you, beneficial or not.
Yeah.
So now you're going to create some problems in your body by drinking chlorinated water. But anyway, I wanted to go back to the energized water concepts. We have available products from Nordic Water, Nordic as in N-O-R-D-I-C.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they make products that push water through a piece of pipe that has the Vortexio patterns built in, so that when you run the water through the shower or through a water tap or even the whole house, the water has been spun exactly in the formats that Schauberger shown.
Wow.
So the water becomes revitalized, and it feels marvelously well.
Wow, that's very cool.
And so, you know, it's not a terribly expensive thing. $600 buys you a piece that you just put into your house pipe, and every drop of the water coming through your house pipes is now revitalized.
Very, very cool.
So that's one clever thing, how a man is able to actually overcome its own stupidity and restore the proper harmonic features in the water.
Restore vitality to the water.
Hey, that concept.
couldn't resist.
Yeah, of course. We have smaller and less complicated or less intense devices for treating water. You know, for instance, the ADR4 is a cute little 5-inch plate that you can set just about anything that contains water upon.
Yep.
And experience the harmonizing of the water. The most fun I've had with this is taking it to a party and charging wine, you know, like pour out a couple of glasses of wine from the bottle and then charging one of them and not charging the other and asking people to compare.
Right.
And it's amazing. You know, you can take this $10 bottle of wine and it will taste like the $50 bottle of wine because it has had the effects of aging or the harmonization embedded in it within 2 minutes of sitting on this little plate.
Yeah. And nobody, if they didn't see it, they would never believe it.
Yeah, it's... I call it the booga booga factor. Ooh, gives me the creeps. What did you just do?
Right, right. Well, so let's get back to the kind of to the basics of this discussion, Martin, which is, you know, if you bought a bottled water at the store or if you take water straight out of the tap and it's, you know, okay, it's H2O sort of thing, there's going to be a problem with it actually getting into the cells and actually your body being able to use it the way we're meant to use water.
Right. Yes, there are four things that we can easily measure about water. The first thing is its surface tension. The second thing is oxidation reduction potential, ORP. Third thing is its pH, which is the acid-alkaline balance. And the fourth thing is the cluster size.
Right.
So let's start with the cluster size.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. Every time you talk about this, I just go, oh, that is so cool. I mean, I would never have thought of it. So I'm glad you started with
Well, what happens is that we have a function in our cells to take water in and water out through something called the aquaporin channel. That's A-Q-U-A-P-O-R-I-N. Aquaporin channel.
There's going to be a test later, everybody, so make sure you write that down.
Yes. And it's, what happens is the water can only go through in single file, one molecule at a time.
Yeah. And we assume that when we have water, it's H2O, which is to say just this one molecule that, you know, sort of sliding by other molecules, right?
Right.
But I guess that's not true.
Well, it's sort of like a whole bunch of kids that would be holding hands. You can't get them through a gate and a fence all at once. You have to somehow figure out how you're going to turn them into a single file so that they can get through.
Because the water molecules will cluster together. I like the analogy of ping pong balls. If each ping pong ball was a molecule of water and you'd glued a whole bunch of them together and you'd have this big clump of water, right?
Yes, you'd have to rip it apart somehow to make it usable.
Yeah, because you couldn't play ping pong with a bunch of ping pong balls that were glued together, right?
That just no. No, now you're in the volleyball territory.
That's right. That's right.
So what happens is your body either has to expend the energy on separating the water molecules, or the water will irrigate, meaning it will be in your intestine or in your urinary tract, and it will go through you, but it will not hydrate you. You will drink 8 glasses of water, and you will still be feeling thirsty. Because the common water, you know, the stuff that comes out of the water taps, may have 1 or 2% of the properly clustered water. The water that will actually get inside of your cells and hydrate internally. So we need to decrease the water clustering size, take it apart, make it easier for your body to hydrate itself internally. And we have tools to do that, like, for instance, this ADR4 or the prills that we sell or the water ionizers that we'll sell. All of these things will adjust the clustering of the water, break it apart, make it more absorbable.
And that's the key. It's you need to be able to absorb the water.
Mm-hmm. Not just have it flow through you, actually be able to bring it into the cells, not just past the cells.
Right.
So anyway, so that's the cluster size. The second thing I mentioned was the pH. Your lymphatic system should be matching the pH of your blood, which is about 7.3 to 7.4. Most people's lymphatic system, when healthy, is at least above 6.8, between 6.8 and 7.2. If it gets much below that, chronic disease starts setting in. You get calcium leaching out of your bones, bringing on things like osteoporosis, and then inflammation sets in with things like arthritis and who knows what else, illnesses. And then further on down into the acidic territory, you get tumors, cancers, and eventually complete decay and never mind. It's over. So what we need to do is maintain the acid-alkaline balance in our body.
Right.
And a lot of the lifestyle issues we've already discussed will cause acidic inputs, stress, lack of sleep, and coffee, and refined foods, fried foods, sugar. All of these things are acidifying your body. You need to alkalize it.
Yeah.
So the water you drink needs to be more alkaline than not. By changing the physical structure of the water, we're actually shifting it toward more alkaline. For people who have real serious trouble, I would recommend going with the water ionizer. because you can, there are settings on the ionizer where you can make the water 8.5, 9.5, even 10.5 on the pH scale, which will help you wash out all the acidity out of your system.
Yeah, and that has a big impact on cleaning things like the colon and just refreshing your whole body, right?
Right. Well, we were discussing weight management not long ago. Your body will deposit toxic toxins that it's not able to get rid of in fat. Well, if you start drinking the alkalizing water or alkaline water, you're giving your body the tools now to wash the toxins out.
Right.
So it's one of the best tools for slimming if you're finding yourself with that jiggly, blubbery fat all over you. That is a sure sign that you need to alkalize.
Right.
And the other sign, of course, are these degenerative diseases already mentioned. So either a full-on water ionizer or at least the prills. The precious prills are such a wonderful universal tool, simple and affordable.
Right. Yeah, 3 ounces of them for $15, can't beat that.
No, especially when they last for a couple of years or more. So that's the pH. The next thing that we mentioned is the ORP, oxidation reduction potential. Again, a good ionizer will send it into the negative territory. Negative or voltage means that the water has the anodes. So it will help you reverse the effects of oxidative damage.
Right.
You know, the effects of oxidative damage you will see best on people who have been either working out in the outdoors, you know, sun damage,
yeah,
or people who smoke and drink. You see, you know, it starts showing up at, you know, from 35 years onward in people, those that smoke and drink, you can tell that they're aged way quicker than people who don't.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because their skin is all dried out.
That's right. Yeah, the oxidative damage starts showing up. And, of course, that's the outside. It's the same thing on the inside. Your organs are shriveling and shrinking and wrinkling, and you know, they're becoming damaged. So the efficiency of that, of the function, is going down. So that's the ORP. Again, you know, things like the prills will drop the ORP into the negative territory. And the ionizers will do that even quicker. And then so it's the pH. Okay, so the last of the four would be surface tension. Surface tension is something that you can change by means of soap and detergents. You know, when you want to wash something or get rid of grease, you would add some soap to it. Well, we can actually make the water with a lower surface tension without adding soap to it. And that's what people tell me is, I didn't know my kitchen counter would be so clean. When I started using the prill water for cleaning, these dirty things just disappeared.
Right. Because it changes the surface tension and pulls everything off of it.
That's right. Same thing, you know, we have this bath and laundry appliance. When you can take the water laundry appliance, add it to your washing machine, and you don't even have to add soap for it to wash. So you can use just some good soap, like the Miracle-2 soap, on the greasiest spots, and one of these laundry balls or the laundry bags, and you'll be saving a fortune on laundry detergent because you won't need it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, it's a reality for many of our customers already. So, again, to repeat, four features of the water that we can change using these devices. It's lower the surface tension, which means that you can get rid of toxins and dirt out of your body better. But it also means that you'll dissolve the nutrients more effectively, so you'll get more out of the water or the things that you have in the water that you're drinking.
Right, or if you're eating.
Exactly, same thing. And then the second thing is the pH, which, of course, the properly balanced pH allows you to be joyful, not miserable, energetic, not tired, free of colds and viruses, because viruses rise only in acidic territory. Sidebar here, as we're heading into the winter season here, I'm just anticipating people roasting turkeys and similar activities, you know, filling themselves on big, heavy dinners. That's a very acidifying experience. You definitely need to wash it out with an alkalizing water, or else. Or else you suffer the consequence of the flu season.
That's right.
People thought that it was the virus that just sort of jumps on them from the door handle or from somebody sneezing at them. But that's not the case. It's the lack of antioxidants and lack of pH balance in the body that causes it.
So pretty well all these viruses that people get are in the body all the time.
Yes, I agree. We encounter these infectious germs all the time. They're in our environment, summer or winter. It's just that in winter we usually get less sunlight, so less vitamin D. We get less fresh fruits and vegetables. That means less vitamin B and C, and so on. So that's the nutritional deficit. And the second one is we eat more cooked food as opposed to raw and fresh food, which is the pH deficit. We're starting to acidify instead of alkalize.
Right. Wow.
There's your flu season because of lack of energized water.
Very good job of kind of putting this all together for us, Martin. Thank you. And I was thinking, there's an article on the site about chronic dehydration, and I was just thought it might be interesting to go through a few of those just to let everybody know, you know, because some people say, oh, no, I drink water. My water is fine or whatever. But it just amazes me all the different things that come up from not having enough water in our system. And some of them are a fatigue and energy loss. So when you're dehydrated, and the tissues don't have the enzymatic activity that they normally do. They slow down, and, of course, we feel tired. Constipation, you know, when your chewed food enters the colon, if it contains too much liquid and things don't form properly, and you're in trouble. And if you have other digestive disorders, and I never really thought of, you know, not having enough water to be related to not having enough digestive juices to digest all the food that we eat.
Right.
If you have high or low blood pressure, then you're, you know, it's funny. You, no water, you could have high blood pressure. No water, you could have low blood pressure. But
yeah, that's because your blood electrolytes will go out of balance, and that the sodium and potassium balances that regulate how your heart functions and how the cellular pressure is maintained.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And those of us that have trouble breathing, and you know, your mucous membranes might be slightly moist to protect the tract, and all of a sudden you've got problems breathing.
Right.
And like you talked about the acid alkaline imbalance and the problems with that, and obesity, and cholesterol was a surprising one, because if you've got too much liquid that needs to be removed from inside the cells, the body tries to stop the loss by producing more cholesterol, because in the course.
Yeah, that's a classic reaction to defend itself. If it's drying out, they'll say, oh, I gotta protect this somehow.
Gotta keep the water in.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind, because, you know, cholesterol, everyone talks about, high cholesterol and all the rest of this. And, you know, whoever said drink more water?
Well, it wouldn't have worked sufficiently. It would be drink more energized, structured, non-industrial water. And which doctor is even going to tell you that there is such a thing as water energizers?
Yes, or that it makes any difference.
Yes, because H2O is just H2O, right?
Mm-hmm.
And salt is just salt, and oil is just oil, and
sugar is just sugar.
Yeah, sugar is just calories. Don't worry about it.
So anyway, it just surprised me all the different things that dehydration can cause, and makes me realize again how important it is to make sure I've got a lot of water. Which brings me, I think, maybe to perhaps our last kind of little point. And, you know, is there a difference between drinking water? I mean, we talk about energized water and living water, or, you know, having a 7-Up or a Coke?
Well, you could take the ADR for a plate and set your glass of favorite soda drink on top of it, so it will be harmonized. So whatever water in that drink will be harmonized. However, you will still have the issue of the phosphoric acid and the 9 teaspoons of sugar to deal
right.
with. So you will still have the assault of calories and the assault of acidity. It just will be beautifully harmonized, so it will probably just get inside of your tissues a little quicker.
Right. Yeah, so you put on weight faster, is that what you're telling us?
Yes, absolutely. For accelerated destruction, please structure your 7-Up.
Well, I think that's a great place to end this discussion on water. And Martin, if somebody wanted to talk to you more about energizing their water and alkalizing their bodies and that sort of stuff, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, I hope that people will first do some reading. It's on the www.life-enthusiast.com. And go to the health education section and read. I am starting to get pretty busy. It's been difficult to return all the calls that are coming in every day. But for people who really need help, call 775-299-4661. That rings on my desk. Or call 1-866-543-3388 and make an appointment. I do my best to talk to everybody who needs help.
Awesome. And yeah, okay, great. And if you're interested in listening to other podcast episodes that we have done on our different health issues, you could head over to lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com, or on the Life Enthusiast Co-op site, we've got a little tab that says podcast. Click there, it'll take you right to it. We've well over 80 episodes so far and climbing, all sorts of great information on any topic you can think of when it comes to your health. So it's a great resource.
Right. So, folks, this is the wrap-up for yet another episode of Life Enthusiast Co-op's podcast, signing off with restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.